Static. Noise. That's all we hear, or so it seems. Where would you go? What would you pay to hear the truth? Good news. It's free. And nearby. The Bible is God's truth. At the Escondido United Reformed Church, Chris Gordon preaches Christ the truth from God's Word every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway, 760-745-1679, eurc.org. Contending for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Addiction, bondage, slavery ultimately to sin is what the scriptures are constantly presenting to us and showing that God has the power to shatter that dominion in your life, dear listener. Are you addicted to drugs, to all manner of things under the sun that bring you into slavery and bondage and really do make you feel miserable in this life? When we look at the message of scripture, the Lord has told us that being children of Adam, we have all become slaves to sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in his glorious gospel, announces to this lost world that when we come to him, when we come to him for life, he is setting us free. We shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. And we now live in the joy and the power of his resurrection, which has conquered sin, death, and the grave. That is the gospel. That's what we're considering on Abounding Grace Radio as we're continuing our study in the book of Exodus. And today on Abounding Grace, we are back in Exodus chapter 9 as we look at this plague of the livestock, the Lord plaguing the livestock in Egypt, and its message for us today as Christians traveling through this land to the promised land, but on the way, many things trying to bring us back into bondage. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. As always, we direct you to our website at agradio.org. That web address is agradio.org. We have so many resources there for you, podcasts there for download, free of charge, by the way. You can also write to us. We'd love to hear from you. Maps to churches in your areas. We do have a Facebook page, so do please visit us on Facebook. And also download the apps for your smartphone, for your iPhone or your Android, so that you can take Abounding Grace Radio with you at your convenience. And also you have a way to call us at 888-504-8805. 888-504-8805. All of your support goes to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you. And so without further ado, here is the program today from Exodus chapter 9, which I've titled Under the Mighty Hand of God. One of the real blessings of studying Exodus and looking at these plagues is that we really are getting a full treatment here of what spiritual bondage is and what slavery looks like in spiritual terms. This is the way the New Testament applies this and wants us to understand this. This has moved me to see how gripped, as we look at this, people are in bondage. Romans 6 explains that for us, of course. It explains, do you not know that whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves. No one is truly free in the proper sense of the term. The bondage is so great. The bondage is so gripping over people's lives. Only the power of God can shatter it. And that's what we're learning here. Only the great power of God can shatter it and release us into a life of freedom and a life of true joy. Joy in serving a king who is kind. Joy in serving a God who is for us and not against us. A God who is caring and compassionate, and his loving kindness endures forever to us. We will never believe that about him until we're free. The lie perpetuated by those held in Satan's hand is that God's way is burdensome. God's way is
hard. God's way is restricting. God's way is miserable. And there's a whole path out there that's much more freeing than that. That's the lie of the devil. That's the lie that's perpetuated. And until the Lord comes and breaks those bolts, until he shatters those chains, you'll never know his love and you'll never believe his gospel. But that's his desire for his people. That you know that love. That you know that freedom. I believe that's really emphasized in the fifth plague here this morning. As we have seen, there's something that's highlighted in each plague, something that's given to us that Moses wanted us to say, okay, that's the point. That's what the Lord wants us to focus on. That's what the Lord wants us to see. And here you notice in this particular plague, in verse 3, we read, "Behold, the hand of the Lord will fall, will come." I want you to think a minute about the imagery provided about God's delivering hand. I'm amazed if you were to go through and do a search on how many times the Psalms used the hand of the Lord to deliver over and over and over and over. The question is really challenging us to see that statement is really challenging us to ask the question this morning about whose hands we are in. Whose hands? The plague is about the powerful hand of the Lord to release us and take us into his arms of freedom. And that is right, at his right hand, as the Psalms say, you could think of Psalm 16, at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. I want to consider this morning this plague in light of that statement, the hand of the Lord shall come. In Numbers 33, when Moses wrote down for Israel, for future generations, and he was explaining the deliverance, he said something that was intended for future generations to understand the plagues. When they went back and they read the plagues, how they were to understand the plagues, and he wants you, this is what Moses said, "I want you to know, Israel, that also on their gods, the Lord executed judgment." And that tells you that we're supposed to read the plagues as hitting gods, the gods of Egypt. It was right in Scripture. The Lord executed judgments on their gods. The way you understand the plagues is to remember here that the Lord had strategically and systematically, he was humiliating and pummeling the gods of Egypt like a bowling ball running through there. And that means that the plagues were intended for Israel to always look and to understand the power of idolatry and the power of God to shatter it in people's lives, as he did in their lives. That God desired to free them, that God desired to set them free. So the entire message of the Exodus had become very clear for them. And we can use the very language of Colossians 1 for us. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son in love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. That really does capture it. That's the larger story. That's the story of Exodus. At last time he showed them that story in the fourth plague. He gave us the whole gospel model right there in the fourth plague, the whole gospel plan, where in between Goshen and in between Egypt, literally in the space between, he set up a ransom. Right after he had said, "The Lord will come down and be in your midst." That was the mission declared in the fourth plague. They needed to be bought back. They needed to be set free. They needed to be released from, as we say in the Heidelberg, the tyranny of the devil. And that the ransom payment anticipated there in the fourth plague all spoke of the cross of Christ. There on the other side of Goshen, which meant drawing near, those people who were in Christ had come near. They had the ability to draw near, as Hebrews tells us. The fourth plague was an anticipation and display of that gospel program, that outside of that ransom, outside of Goshen, people were plagued under the judgment of God. And that's why Revelation 21 picked up on that very imagery of inside, outside. Well, the fifth plague is building now in intensity to accomplish this and show us this developing. In the fifth plague, we come into Pharaoh's house. That's the second cycle, second plague. Remember, first cycle is out by the river, first plague in each cycle, three cycles, then the tenth. First plague's by the river, second plague's in the house, third plague is an unannounced blow. And as we come back into Pharaoh's house this morning, we pick up in verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go into Pharaoh and tell him, 'Thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me, may worship me.'" Relentless, isn't he? Over and over, let him go. I thought about how much we fail the Lord, never giving much back to him. And the thought that fills our minds that he must say in the midst of our departures, "I'm done. I'm turning my back." The reality is that as we look at this morning, he just keeps coming back, demanding release and explaining for us the importance of delivering us, showing us how deep the bondage is and the warfare that you are in. You don't think about that enough. You don't think about the warfare enough. We don't think about what is the nature of our enemy. And we don't think a lot about the world, the flesh, and the devil, and how much they assault, and what's really going on behind the scenes. If we could only see, if we only knew, that's what Exodus is helping us with. And then we think about God when we depart, that he becomes the enemy against us. If he's become the enemy against us, we have no hope in the world. We're done. He doesn't say, "I'm tired of these people." He doesn't say, "I give up on these people." He doesn't say, "I'm done. They don't love me very much." I'm going to show you in a minute how much that means in light of what Israel would do. He steps forward back to Pharaoh's house. And the visual is of Christ coming and saying openly when he got here on the scene of history, "I have come. I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. I'm not losing one. I've come that they may have life. I've come to set them free. I've come that they may know the truth and the truth may set them free. Let them go." Again, over and over and over, he says it. Let him go. Let Kalin go. You must believe that's his intention. You must believe it's his intention for you. Every time you run to sin and are tempted to discouragement to go elsewhere for an answer, that's his goal. Let them go. I'm bringing him home. God be thanked. Though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Having been set free, you became slaves of righteousness. That's beautifully captured of God's releasing power in verse 2. If you refuse to let them go, and notice the inclusion there that we haven't seen so far, and still hold them. If you still hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will fall with a very severe plague on your livestock and all that are in the field, the horses, the donkeys, the camels, the herds, and the flocks. If you still refuse and you still hold them. Now, that is imagery that's already been given to us in Exodus back in chapter 3. This was one of the things that the Lord said to Moses about the reason he had come down to get them. Listen to this. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because they're taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of a land to good, a good and broad land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. Did you catch it? Their hand is around my people and their necks. That's the imagery. Now think about that for a moment. What does that mean to us? Well, a guy in prison might understand that. A guy in prison might understand that. I remember visiting years ago Alcatraz, and I went into that black isolation chamber, and they turned off the lights, and I didn't last really 5 minutes in there. I was ready to get out. I cannot imagine being confined into that, and I actually started panicking. 5 minutes. I think it's the ninth plague. They say the darkness that they're going to have on the land of Egypt was felt. I felt it. You know, that's how people live. The imagery here that we have is Satan is holding these people in solitary confinement. Satan has his hands around their necks. That's the imagery. He's got a key to the jail door, and they can't get out. They're totally bound up. That's what sin is like. It's like giant hands around our heart. And the devil stands there with giant hands around people's lives who think they're free. That's the craziness of it all. Who think they're free. I fully understand why people say today, well, I was born with this behavior. I was born as a homosexual, as we hear today. I don't have any other choice. That grips my life. I understand that. Bruce Jenner has giant hands around his heart. Bruce Jenner's own heart is against him, and he can't see any differently. He's bolted. He's in the chamber. Addiction is like that. They're giant hands around lives, holding down, keeping people, thinking that they're free, which is the madness of it all. But it doesn't achieve happiness. If you don't stop holding my people, my hand's coming. You feel that? It was a known proverb, and I mean this, it was a known proverb in Egypt that when Pharaoh raised his strong hand, his power was being put on display. In fact, 2 Kings tells us that Israel was under the hand of Pharaoh. Under his hand. Everyone knew throughout Egypt, Pharaoh's hand held Egypt. Can you imagine? Before Pharaoh, Moses comes in and he stands in the palace and there's the hand of Pharaoh and the Lord says, if you don't take your hands off my people, my hand's falling on you. You got to feel that. If you don't take your hands off their necks, you're going to meet God's hand. And then this emphatic word is given in the Hebrew right in front of it, and it wants to make the case. Watch out, buddy. Behold, the hand is falling on your cattle, on your horses, on your donkeys, on your camels, on your oxen, and your sheep. A very severe pestilence. Of the highest degree. Thus says the Lord, my hand will be on you. To which all of us should stop and say this morning, isn't he wonderful? Isn't he wonderful? He could have left you there. He could have left you in the darkness of your misery that you chose. I can give you the imagery of the hand. Remember, These are all building. It started with the finger of God. The finger of God is against you, and now the hand's coming against you. And by the time it's done, he will redeem them with an outstretched arm. He's going to pull them all in. I mean, that's the imagery of God's power coming upon Egypt and pulling them out. Deuteronomy, when they started thinking about all that God had done for them, Moses wanted to make sure it was put down in Scripture for all the generations to read. And this is what we get in Deuteronomy 4. Has any God ever attempted to go and take a nation for himself from the midst of another nation by trials, by signs, by wonders, and by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and by great deeds of terror, all which the Lord your God did for you before the eyes of the Egyptians, and before your eyes? I've often said, if we only knew and could only see right now, when Elijah's servant was scared, and Elijah said, open his eyes. And then his eyes were opened, and all around him was the mountain, the glory mountain. And there were chariots of horses all around, God's horses, all around, the chariots of fire, all around his people, surrounding them from the enemy. If you could only see that right now, if only your eyes could be opened right now, and you could see what's surrounding you. You know what Moses sings at Exodus 15? He sings this. Right after the Red Sea, right after Egyptians are pummeled and drowned and dropped into the Red Sea, Exodus 15, your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power, your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrow your adversaries. You send out your fury. It consumes them like stubble. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide. My desire shall have its fill of them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. Now you're ready to sing those imprecatory psalms, aren't you? There's a greater story to them, isn't there? There's a greater story to the spiritual reality all around us that we don't pay any attention to or think very seriously about. Think of it. Hands were around your children. Hands were around you and your children. And he put his hands on them. What imagery. The right hand of curse fell on them. I'm striking your cattle. If I could give some kind of imagery, it would be like this. Here's Goshen. All of God's people are shielded in Goshen. And he now stands right in the middle as Pharaoh's trying to reach over and grab them. He puts his hand on all of them. And here's what you get. In Exodus 13, this is so wonderful. So it shall be when your son asks you in time to come, when your children want to know about this. What is this? You shall say to him, by the strength of the hand of the Lord, he brought us up out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And it came to pass when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. Exodus 15, your right hand, O Lord, dashed the enemies to pieces. When we come to the New Testament, this was the message right out of the gates when Christ came. Zechariah, when he was announced that the Savior was coming, he said this, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might worship him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. It's come. It's come. The time has come when he shattered the hand of the enemy on your life and he set your hearts free to enjoy him in worship. And now, how much does this language mean to you? And I give them eternal life, says Jesus, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand.
For listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace. Entertainment is good fun, but your pastor shouldn't be a stand-up comic, and church is not a nightclub. In worship, we meet a holy God face-to-face, in Christ, in His gospel. Escondido United Reformed Church is committed to reverent, joyful worship every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Escondido United Reformed Church, 760-745-1679, eurc.org, 760-745-1679, eurc.org.